take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, October 18th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and just 3 weeks away from marijuana election night 2016. Oh my God, I can't believe how close we are to radically altering not just America's, but the world's prohibition of cannabis. This is going to be a momentous occasion. We'll be there live in Los Angeles at the Drug Policy Alliance watch party for Prop 64, bringing you live coverage on CannabisRadio.com from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific time. We're covering all the time zones an hour before the first polls close in the East through an hour after the last polls close in the West. We'll have guests on from the campaigns. We'll have reporters at the campaign watch parties. We'll speak to celebrities, policy wonks, and even some of the opposition we're going to have on the show. We're going to be fair and balanced here. So check that out coming out marijuana election night, Tuesday, November 8th, 3 to 9 Pacific time. Oh boy, on today's show, so much to get to because we are just getting so much information and so much polling coming from the marijuana election night. And we're going to get to that here 3 weeks before the election in our drug war data mining. I'm going to run down all the latest polls. We got a few updates for you, let you know how reform is proceeding in this country. Before that, though, we'll get to a behind the headlines segment talking about our opponents. I've downloaded a whole bunch of the anti-marijuana ads that they're hearing in Florida, Arizona, Massachusetts, California, and Nevada. We'll play a few of them here in hour one. We'll save a bunch of them for hour two, especially one of them I can't wait to hear, ripping off Jimmy Kimmel. And you know Jimmy Kimmel live on ABC. He's got that mean tweets, you know, where the celebrities come on and they read the awful, insulting tweets that they get. Well, this one is kids read mean tweets from marijuana supporters. So we're going to take a listen to that in hour two. Also coming up on the show today, we'll get into the activist agenda because we are prepping for marijuana election night. And joining us today, we'll have Genevieve Sheridan. She is in Marion County, Oregon. That's where Salem, Oregon is. That's our state capital here. They're looking at a ban that they want to get overturned on marijuana businesses. And we'll talk to her about the campaign, how that's going, and how we can help if we want to get some marijuana businesses going there in our state capital. So that'll be coming up at half past the hour. Stay tuned for that. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant where I'm going to take the time to swat a dragonfly. That's right. Dragonfly de la Luz is back. Just like the crickets, the cicadas, they reappear every so many years, right? Well, every time there's a legalization initiative in California, Dragonfly de la Luz will be there to try to convince you that you should vote to remain a criminal. So we'll talk about that coming up in the Radical Rant. Of course, we've got our cannabis radio news as well, all sorts of headlines. We've got an update on that governor's wife. You remember that story we told you about in Utah? Well, there's been a deal in that case, so we'll talk about that. We've got some overseas news from Turkey where they've reformed some of their cannabis cultivation laws. Great news happening over there. And we've got other stories coming to you from Oregon, a stupid stoner story. We've got a story coming out of, let's see, Alaska, great one on a elementary school gone bad, and a sad story of gunfire over a marijuana deal gone bad in California. That's all coming up, plus hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We take your calls live at 650-LEGAL-MJ, 650-534-2565. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the Cannabis Radio News next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your cannabis business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Today I started smoking my weed again. I'm right back where I really always been. I got over my weed just long enough. Let my probation end. And today I started smoking my weed again. Hey boy, pass me that joint. Chong's choice.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Adrian, I finished it. Adrian.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, October 18th, 2016. Turkey has legalized cannabis production in 19 provinces in order to crack down on illegal production, according to new regulations by the Ministry of Food, Agriculture, and Livestock. Published in the Official Gazette late September, hemp cultivation and control of regulations will allow highly controlled and ministry-sanctioned cannabis production in the selected provinces for medical and scientific purposes. Under the regulations, growers must obtain permission from the government, allowing them to grow the plant for a 3-year period, the Turkish newspaper The Hurriyet reports. Potential growers must produce a warrant proving they have not been involved in any illegal cannabis production activity or narcotic production or use in the past. The wife of Utah's Democratic candidate for governor pleaded guilty to misdemeanor pot possession charges connected with 2 pounds of the drug found at their house. The plea deal calls for a fine and probation rather than jail time for Donna Weinholtz, who was charged after postal workers found a small amount of pot she tried to mail to the couple's home in California earlier this year. Mike Weinholtz revealed the investigation during his party's convention in April, shortly after it began, and said he would then push to legalize in Utah the medical use his wife needs for chronic pain. She agreed to serve 1 year of probation and pay a $3,800 fine in the plea deal that also calls for her record to be cleared if she stays out of trouble for the next year. prosecutors declined to file the felony possession charge Utah maintains for possessing over a pound of marijuana, which can earn a sentence of 5 years in prison. An apology was issued Tuesday after an automated phone message from an Anchorage elementary school Monday night urged parents to attend a city assembly meeting and voice opposition to marijuana retail stores on the agenda. That message from Campbell Elementary School should never have gone out due to its partisan nature, said Anchorage School District spokesperson Heidi Embley. The message was sent out by a staff member, not Campbell Elementary principal Michelle Johansson, according to Embley. Embley said she did not know the staff member's name. When pressed about the staff member's position, Embley replied in an email that the principal was taking responsibility for the message, saying, quote, "This was not something that should have happened or will happen again in the future," end quote. In the message, a female voice tells parents that a marijuana retail store, quote, "quietly passed without public input," end quote, at the last Anchorage assembly meeting, and urges parents to attend Tuesday's meeting to oppose another store looking to open up in the area. An Oregon man faced multiple citations after attempting to trade a large amount of marijuana for a snowmobile owned by a police officer. Jason Owen, age 29, had contacted the snowmobile's owner, who happened to be an Oregon State Trooper, on Craigslist and offered to trade a pound of marijuana in exchange for the vehicle, according to Oregon State Police. The trooper and his supervisor sought a consultation with the agency's drug enforcement section before he and Owen agreed to meet at a local gas station to discuss the deal. When Owen arrived to meet the trooper, he was monitored by an unmarked police vehicle before being stopped by several marked patrol cars. The trooper identified himself and informed Owen he was committing a crime by possessing more than a pound and a half of marijuana in his vehicle. A deal over marijuana was at the center of a violent encounter that ended in gunfire, with one man dead and two people wounded at a rural Sebastopol, California property, Sonoma County Sheriff's investigators confirmed Tuesday. Detectives found both potted cannabis plants and processed pot at the Highway 116 South property Saturday night after they were called to the home by a woman reporting she and two others had been shot. Quote, "The argument was about someone owing money or someone owing weed," end quote, Sheriff's spokesperson Sergeant Spencer Crum said. Detectives were working to determine the roles of all present at the property, including resident Nathan Proto, age 36, who was shot and killed at the scene, and two others who were shot and critically wounded. It wasn't clear who owed whom. Crum said they remained in critical condition Tuesday, and the victims remain unidentified. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, October 18th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Not enough money for schools.
Since we made marijuana legal, our schools are better and our kids have more opportunities.
Crowded courts mean police cannot protect our streets.
The great thing is that here in Colorado, law enforcement is able to focus on the number one priority for all of us, which is preventing violent crime.
Never enough money.
Since the passage of Amendment 64, I have seen an increase in resources for our schools.
It's your turn to regulate marijuana.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Woo! Okay.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey, everybody. It's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we want to take a look at Marijuana Election Night 2016, coming up in just 3 weeks, and the money is starting to pour in on the opposition side. News was revealed today that Sheldon Adelson, the casino billionaire in Nevada, who owns the Las Vegas Review-Journal newspaper, has poured another $1 million into anti-reform efforts, this time in the state of Massachusetts, where they are voting on question four. In our next segment, we'll talk about some of the polling that's going on in Massachusetts and elsewhere. But for this segment, we're going to talk about the opposition and what their money is funding, the types of ads that they are running on the news stations, and how these might be having an effect on some of our polling numbers. We'll get to that in the next segment. But now, let's listen to the latest ad coming out of the No on Question 4 campaign. This is some of what Sheldon Adelson's money helps to buy.
Question 4 would allow thousands of pot shops and marijuana operators throughout Massachusetts, in neighborhoods like yours. Shops that sell pot edibles that look like candy and high-potency marijuana. In pro-pot states, incidents of drugged driving and fatal car accidents are up. More pot shops than McDonald's and Starbucks combined. Higher potency, dangerous drivers. It's the reason health professionals are urging you to vote no on 4.
See, that's the framing they want to use. It's coming straight from Kevin Sabet, the edibles. They know that that is a big scare talking point for parents, that the kids are going to get the marijuana gummies. Oh, my God, we got to worry about this. This is the type of framing we're going to hear. And it's important that we counter these frames with the gummy frame. I always like to counter with the gummy vitamins, the chocolate X-lax, pointing out that we don't blame parents we don't blame the chocolate X-lax if the kids get into it and get sick. We blame the bad parenting. The other part of that ad that I want to make sure that we attack is this: more dispensaries or more pot shops than Starbucks and McDonald's combined. This is an apples to oranges comparison. They're saying, oh my God, there's going to be so many pot shops, a plethora of them, more than Starbucks and McDonald's combined. But ask them this: how many locations are there where a person can get a cup of coffee or a hamburger? See, the distortion they're using here is to compare all retailers of every cannabis product to one retailer of coffee or one retailer of hamburgers. So it's an apples to oranges comparison that tells us nothing. However many pot shops there may be will be enough to satisfy the market. It's not as if we make a whole bunch of pot shops and it's going to force more people to smoke pot. It's just going to take the deals off of the streets and out of the parking lots and parks and put them into stores where IDs are checked and taxes are raised. Now, Sheldon has put a lot of money into Florida as well. Here's one of the anti-medical marijuana ads in Florida.
This is a pharmacist. Qualifications? 4 years of medical training and 2,000 hours of clinical experience. This is a bud tender. Qualifications? No medical training. No clinical experience. But knows a lot about pot firsthand. With Amendment 2, pot will be legally dispensed by bud tenders, not pharmacists. In pot shops, not pharmacies. No prescription needed. That's not medicine. It's dope dealers with storefronts. Vote no on Amendment 2.
And of course, this is a classic case of leaving out the important detail. And that is, we'd be fine with medical marijuana being dispensed by pharmacists. We'd be fine with it requiring a prescription. But the federal Schedule I designation makes those things impossible. It's just impossible. We cannot have pharmacists. We cannot have prescriptions. This idea, trying to demonize and scare us that there's a bud tender that doesn't have a whole lot of pharmacy experience, is irrelevant, because pharmacists need that experience because they're dealing in toxic and addictive substances that have cross-drug interactions that can be fatal. A bud tender is selling an herb that has no possible risk of overdose and has never killed anybody and has no known drug interactions save Viagra and it only just makes Viagra better, folks. So they are really trying to just throw everything up against the wall, see what will stick, and scare the hell out of the voters. We're not going to let them.
Man, I'm not going to any more of these bullshit Puno parties.
I hear you, Mr. President. That sound means it's 20 after 420 in the mountain time zone. So happy 420 to our friends out in the Rockies, the land of my birth. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got our marijuana election night poll update 3 weeks before the election. And in hour two, we'll play some more of those scary ads.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, Lady Marijuana, lama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Himping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter from Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to, like, track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show. Live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Could be Russia, but it could also be China. It could also be lots of other people. It also could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer. Or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, 3 weeks before we vote on marijuana election night, we've got the latest polls in the nine states that are voting on reform, and let's give them a rundown. Starting with the big jewel, California's Prop 64. The latest poll is out, IGS field poll, showing a 60 to 31 support for marijuana legalization in California. 60 to 31 IGS field poll with 70 support for Democrats, 65 from independents, and 40 from Republicans. Support's greatest in the LA area, 71%. San Francisco Bay Area, 61%. Lowest support in the Central Valley, still at 50%. So good news coming out of the field poll. That backs up a Survey USA poll from 2 days ago that showed a 51 to 40 support, far lower support, but still above majority. This may be a bit of an outlier because two previous polls in September were a 58-34 and a 60-36. Another Survey USA poll back in September was a 52-40. So Survey USA seems to be the low pollster in California. But even then, they're only registering 40% opposition. SC Dorn Life, USC LA Times had a 58-34 in September as well. In Arizona, we've got a new poll out from Arizona Higher Ground. Interesting name for a polling firm on marijuana. The poll shows a 50-45 support for legalization under Prop 205. That's up from the previous poll the day before. Yesterday's poll, Data Orbital, had a 44-45 opposition. So very, very close in Arizona. That's up, though, from an OH Predictive Insights poll in September that was 43-47. And, of course, Arizona Republic and Cronkite News in September had a 50-40 poll. It's looking very close in Arizona, just barely scraping support above opposition. Advertising could make a huge difference in Arizona. We need every vote we can get there. Now, looking at Nevada, newest polls out of Nevada include a Ben Dixon and Amandi poll that showed a 47-46% plurality support for the question two in Nevada. A similar poll out of Suffolk University conducted the same time, end of September, showed a 57-33 support, and a mid-September poll from KTNV showed 53-39 support. The Ben Dixon poll may be an outlier. It may also have something to do with that being a poll commissioned by the Las Vegas Review-Journal, the newspaper that is owned by Sheldon Adelson. So I'm going to stick with Nevada being in the 53-57 range and looking good for legalization to pass. Coming out of the state of Massachusetts, we are finding poll numbers that show some bear support, looking good there. Massachusetts Western New England poll end of September showed a 55-39 support for legalization. A WBZ poll at the end of September showed 53-40, and a WBUR poll in September showed 50-45. However, there is high-profile opposition from the state's governor, the mayor of Boston, and other officials, and Massachusetts could be a difficult one to pull off, but still looking somewhat promising. We don't have a whole lot of polling coming out of the state of Maine. The most recent poll was a mid-September poll by the Portland Press Herald showing a 53-38% support. So of our five states that are voting on marijuana legalization, if I were to rank them in order of how likely they are to pass, I would say California is most likely, followed probably by, let's say, Nevada, Maine, Massachusetts, and Arizona in that order. Now, taking a look at the medical marijuana polls, Florida is the big jewel in this campaign. And of course, keep in mind, in Florida, constitutional amendments need 60% to pass. 50 won't do it. The latest poll coming out of WESH and Public Policy Polling shows a 69-24 support for medical marijuana Amendment 2 in Florida. Other polls from September show, public opinion research shows 77-18. Florida Chamber of Commerce shows 73-22. And St. Leo University shows 69-31. However, in mid-October, there was a poll from Breitbart News and Gravis Marketing that showed only 54-35 support in Florida. I'm going to consider that an outlier as well, considering the source is Breitbart News. I'd say Florida is almost a lock to pass medical marijuana with its support way up there in the high 60s, low 70s. In Arkansas, the polling is two separate measures. Issue 6 is the medical marijuana that's the strict dispensary only one. This is most recently got 49-43 support. This was a mid-September Talk Business and Politics poll. Issue 7, the medical marijuana that is more liberal and would allow some people to grow at home, is way behind. A mid-September poll from Talk Business Politics showed it at 36-53% opposition. The only item I can find in our marijuana election night that actually has majority opposition is Issue 7 in Arkansas. North Dakota, we don't have any polls. Last poll in North Dakota was 2014, and it was a 47-41 support. And that was just the generic idea of medical marijuana, not the actual text of the measure. And in Montana, with its Initiative 182 to reform and restore the medical marijuana program there to its previous glory, no polls. Can't find a single poll coming out of Montana on Initiative 182. Neither can I find polls on Denver's social use initiative. But we did get a poll from a state that's not voting on legalization this year. A new poll out of Delaware shows a 61 to 35% support for legalization. That's our polling update for Marijuana Election Night. We'll do it next Tuesday and get you updated. Stay tuned. We've got a MJ Election Night preview with Genevieve from Marion County going to tell us all about what's going on to stop the ban. Genevieve Sheridan, when we come back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Lisa was an amazing girl.
She loved boating, photography, drama.
Nothing could stop the cancer.
She was only 17.
She had surgeries, hundreds of chemos, radiation. All they could do was try to make her feel better. We did lose Lisa in September. It was horrific.
I don't know why anyone would choose to deny her relief by denying her access to medical marijuana.
Yes on Two is compassion for those still fighting.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Okay, maybe you're high too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
You're listening to Cannabis Radio News' exclusive coverage of Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 33 after the hour, and today in our Marijuana Election Night preview, we are taking a look at some of the local issues that are happening here in the state of Oregon, where marijuana legalization passed in 2014, and yet we still have many places around the state that are rejecting the will of the voters, rejecting marijuana legalization, and specifically the businesses and licenses that are needed to conduct commerce in these places. Joining us today, we've got Genevieve Sheridan. She is in Marion County, and for those of you listening, Marion County is just south of me. It's the county that contains Salem, which is our state capital, so there's a lot of political awareness going on there. And we'll get an update here on what's going on with Genevieve. How are you doing, Genevieve?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us here, and we were just curious about this campaign. I noticed there was two different numbers as far as initiatives go. Let our listeners know, what are the issues that we're voting on in Marion County?
So Measure 24404 could potentially ban medical cannabis processors and dispensaries in the unincorporated county. And 24405, if we vote yes, would allow us to repeal the current recreational ban in the county.
Okay, so it's two separate issues, because one is medical ban and the other one is recreational ban?
Right.
Okay, and so this medical ban isn't in effect yet, but the recreational one is?
Right. So basically, the county commissioners have referred the recreational vote back to the voters because it was such a close vote before. And so we have the chance to repeal right now and allow recreational cannabis businesses to operate outside of the city limits of Salem. The city has allowed pretty much everything within the city limits, but a good portion of our city is not incorporated, and you would not be able to know just by looking at it.
I see. Okay. So an attempt to ban medical, which we'd want to vote no on, and an attempt to repeal the rec ban, which we'd want to vote yes on, just so everyone's clear, right?
Oh, no. Actually, vote yes on both, because the way that it's worded, we need you to vote yes to say yes to cannabis.
Okay. See, that's the thing, is sometimes these initiatives make the ballot. I mean, a perfect example is in Montana. When they shut down the medical program there, there was a referendum to veto this new bill that had shut down the program. But it's one of those weird situations. You had to vote yes to say no. You had to vote no to say yes. So let's make sure everyone knows. It's vote yes for cannabis.
Yes, the way it's worded is, should it be allowed? And so vote yes to allow it.
Okay. So have you heard from any of the growers, processors, or retailers affected by these bans in the rural areas? I mean, how many are these affecting?
Well, there's a handful in Salem. They have Salem addresses, two dispensaries that do a huge amount of business are looking at moving right now. They're worried that November 8th will come along and they'll have to move, so they're already setting up new properties within the city limits. They're literally almost right across the street from the city limits.
Huh. It reminds me of when you go to Lake Tahoe, California, Nevada, right? You go right across the street and there's casinos.
Yeah.
Across the street the other way, there's liquor in the grocery store. It's just a weird thing. What's the opposition like there in Salem? You said this was the council that was putting this on. Are there others that are kind of backing them?
So it's the county commissioners that have referred this back to the voters. The city council in the city of Salem is really happy with the cannabis industry, and our mayor-elect, Chuck Bennett, has said that the industry is working out really well within the city limits. He thinks, you know, that we can expand the success into the county. There is some opposition, and I know that farmers would like to be able to vote on growing separately from retail. So maybe, you know, there's a need to have a measure split up between growing and retail and processing. But right now, 24405 covers everything, all licenses for recreational cannabis.
That's an interesting point you make, because I think people that might be concerned about, say, a storefront might not have the same concern about a grow, or vice versa.
Exactly.
Interesting that it's put that way. So how can people help out? Is there a website or donations or contact information you want to give out?
Go to voteyeson.org. You can sign up to volunteer, you can contact us, and you can donate right there. There's a PayPal button.
Fantastic. VoteYesOn.org?
Yes, and we're having a gathering this Saturday at Gilgamesh Brewing so that people can come out and get more information.
Oh, yeah, give us the times on that. Is there any costs? What do people need to know?
Yeah, so it's Gilgamesh Brewing in Salem, Oregon, 3:30 to 5:30. It's $35 a ticket. We have appetizers and refreshments. We have a great speaker lineup with Representative Ken Helm, Attorney Lee Berger, Jenny Dressler from the Oregon Farm Bureau, and Brent DeHart, past president of the Salem Chamber of Commerce.
Glad to hear that lineup, especially Leland Berger, the attorney, well-known here in Oregon, has argued all the way up the Oregon Supreme Court for our rights. And full disclosure, he's an esteemed member of Portland Normal that I founded up here in Portland, and heads up our legal committee that's looking to expand our rights. So I'd encourage everyone, check out that at Gilgamesh. That's this Saturday, correct?
Yes. October 22nd.
All right. And this is grassroots activism in action, people. We can affect these changes at the local level so much more than we can at the state or even the national level. But people aren't too aware of these things. Has it been tough to get the awareness out there that there's this local measure for people to vote on?
Most voters have no idea that these measures are on the ballot because they thought that they voted yes already and they're not sure why we're revisiting this again. A lot of people don't understand about the zoning and taxation of cannabis, so it's a lack of knowledge, but just a lack of awareness. So it has been difficult. We are also trying to form a chapter of Oregon Cannabis Business Council here in Salem so that we have a hub for all cannabis businesses to be able to go to and share information. And right now that's really lacking.
What would you say to critics who would say, look, Salem, the city limits, has plenty of pot shops, plenty of that stuff going on. Why do we need to move it out here in the country? We don't like our, we don't like the pot out here in the country. How would you convince them?
I would say OLCC has some of the strictest security rules I've ever seen. And no farm on this planet has stricter security than an OLCC farm. And people are afraid that they will see tasting rooms popping up in the country, but it is not legal to consume on site at a dispensary. So that fear is, you know, not well founded. But a lot of people just don't know. And they're worried about all these big fences around OLCC grow sites, but those are necessary. And, you know, there's not a lot of profitability out in the countryside for a dispensary. So just supply and demand, they're not going to pop up everywhere in the country. But I do think it's necessary to allow farmers, especially beginning farmers, the opportunity to diversify their crops and realize a significant amount of income from something that they're excited about doing and that will actually help sustain their family farm.
Sounds like we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. Like, we want to put a farm out there and they say, oh, it's dangerous, it's pot, oh, we gotta, okay, so we'll put some fences up and guard it. Oh no, there's fences, we don't like I admire the work you're doing, and I really hope that those both of those initiatives will pass down there in Marion County. Check out was it voteyeson.org if they want to help out?
Yes.
All right, voteyeson.org. Genevieve Sheridan down there in Marion County, thank you so much for the work you're doing, and good luck this election.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha. All right, stay tuned, folks. And when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant where, oh my God, it's that season again. Time to start swatting dragonflies. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Well, 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 today in The Rant, we take a look at the website ConnectionMags.com. That's with a Z. ConnectionMags.com, where once again, my nemesis, Dragonfly De La Luz, what Batman villain would she be? Poison Ivy, maybe? Anyway, the Poison Ivy to my Batman has once again appeared to fight against marijuana legalization. She was there in 2010 during the Prop 19 campaign, spewing her dragon lies, and she's back again for Prop 64, spewing more of the dragon lies. This one here is entitled 8 Reasons Why Californians Should Vote No on Prop 64. It's pretty much a reduction of an earlier article she wrote on another website called 14 Reasons Why Californians Should Vote No. And one of the things I'm really happy about in this is that the comments section is being littered with people that are calling her on the bullshit, and in doing so, linking to my 2 High Times Radical Rant articles, debunking everything she says. I couldn't be more proud. Thank you, people, for spreading the information. But let's take some time on this show to do the same damn thing. So let's start with myth number 1. She says, length severely edited, blah, blah, blah. And there's alternate versions. Okay, so she says, myth number 1, Prop 64 will bring tax revenue to fund schools, healthcare, and infrastructure. Fact, no tax revenue will go to the general fund under Prop 64. And it says, Prop 64 states that none of the tax revenue from recreational cannabis will go to the general fund. All would go to the California Marijuana Tax Fund, which becomes a slush fund for Governor Newsom eventually, and it'll have corruption and cronyism. It'll be awful, it'll be terrible, and it's quite different from everything else going on in the other states. Well, this is a bit of conjecture, and it's based on some misdirection. First of all, it is true that Colorado, Oregon, Washington State, Alaska have earmarked marijuana tax revenues to benefit schools. That is true. And it is also true that California has not earmarked that money to benefit schools. It is true that in the other states, the marijuana is going to various funds, including the general fund. It's true that in California, it's not. It's going to a specific marijuana tax fund. But here's the part that's left out here. California is different than the other states when it comes to how it allocates its money. If you've ever followed anything about California propositions and ballots and tax initiatives, taxes were one of the first things that were attacked by activists back in the 80s trying to reduce tax burdens and such. So there's all sorts of law about how the taxes can be raised and where they can be spent and how they have to go. And it makes a situation where if we put the marijuana tax money in the general fund, that's where it becomes a slush fund. That's where the legislature can appropriate and move and redirect the money any way they like. Only by creating a separate marijuana fund can it have the direction as to where that money should go. So that was a necessary part. The general fund would have screwed us. It was actually necessary to put it in the marijuana tax fund. Now, the complaint that it's not going to the right places, that the marijuana money is not going straight to the schools, is also a situation that's unique to California because it has to do with how the statutes already allocate money to go to the schools.
So the marijuana fund is putting the money where it can, based on all of the ties and all of the restrictions already built into California tax code. And as far as this being cronyism and corruption and Gavin Newsom, like he's some sort of evil mustache twirling cartoon villain, this is not much different than other sorts of allocations where legislators and committees decide where money is to go. If you're upset about cronyism or corruption, that's a whole separate issue than whether or not we stop locking people up for growing marijuana plants. All right, let's get to her myth number two. She says, myth number two, Prop 64 legalizes home grows for all. Fact, few could legally grow under Prop 64. And she mentions that Prop 64 allows cities and counties to ban all but indoor cultivation. And 75% of local governments have or are considering bans. Okay, so if they have them now, if the bans already exist now, and those bans can ban indoor growing, how are things getting worse by Prop 64? Allowing at least indoor grows to exist? Now, the other part they mention is that the home grows are six plants or less. It would only apply to residents of a few localities. It's six per residence, not per person, under highly restrictive conditions. And it would be extremely difficult under most conditions. More difficult than now, Dragonfly? When people can get felonies that put them in jail for 2 to 3 years for cultivating one plant, it's going to be more difficult when you can grow six in some places. Okay. Whatever. All right, let's get to myth number three. Prop 64 will protect small farmers. She says it will decimate small farmers. She says the anti-monopoly provisions only apply in the first 5 years of legalization. That is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. The thing that applies for 5 years is the cap on the grows over 1 acre. So for 5 years, actually it's three because the licensing starts in 2018 and so on. So for the 3 years that licensing begins and the farms start, not only are the big players kept out by a residency requirement and by this limit on the mega-sized grows, but there's also a licensing priority given to the existing players, aka the small farmers. Now, as far as this anti-monopoly, these people throw the word monopoly around. I don't even think they've seen the board game, much less read the definition. Monopoly means an industry controlled by one entity. There will be hundreds, maybe thousands of farmers licensed under Prop 64, all the way down to the micro business level, craft kind of cultivators and so forth. So it can't possibly be a monopoly. Unless one guy goes and buys all the licenses from everyone, then maybe it's a monopoly, right? No, in fact, in Prop 64, there are two or three different provisions that specify in the awarding of a license, the commission is going to take into account whether or not this would lead to an excessive geographic concentration in any particular area, whether it would lead to an excessive concentration of licenses for any one entity, and specifically uses the word monopoly when it describes that. And those parts don't expire. Hezekiah Allen, she quotes Hezekiah Allen from the California Growers Association, who says it could result in a catastrophic economic collapse for huge swaths of California. Look, I'm sorry that you built three generations worth of your family's budget on the artificial price support that prohibition creates by locking up mostly poor, mostly minority people. But you do not deserve to earn a living based on other people's misery. Whether or not it's going to affect the Emerald Triangle's economic structure is not reason enough to continue criminalizing people and to throw a monkey wrench into the progress of the nation and the world ending prohibition. Now, I'm not unsympathetic to small family farmers, small businesses, people struggling to get by. But if this were 1855 and you were the, say, auctioneer at the slave auction and you were complaining to me that, oh my God, the Emancipation Proclamation is going to put me out of business, I'm not going to have a whole lot of sympathy for you. If you're a buggy whip manufacturer in 1896, worried about these new automobiles they're inventing and to put you out of business because you won't be making no buggy whips no more, sorry, find a new job. Find a new industry. Change happens to everybody. I used to be a professional musician. Did I like it when karaoke came into play in the late 80s, early 90s, and started putting club gigs out, started replacing live music with canned music and drunk singing it? Wasn't happy about that at all, but times change, and I found a new gig. All right, she says, Prop 64 is a myth because it's the myth is Prop 64 is necessary to reduce drug arrests. She says Prop 47 has already made Prop 64 obsolete. Gotta love this. She's basically copying one of Kevin Sabet's talking points. We don't need to legalize marijuana. Why, we've got decrim. Nobody that possesses any personal amount, they just get a ticket. And well, Prop 47 defelonized a lot of these crimes. And my goodness, nobody goes to jail for weed, except the people that do. Except still, there are 8,800 felony marijuana charges in California every year. It's just disgusting to hear people that smoke pot cribbing from Kevin Sabet. But I'll tell you what, if Prop 47 is made it unnecessary to legalize, if decrim is so wonderful, if Prop 215 protects everybody, well, then why are we bothering to legalize California at all? Why push CCHI? Why push MCLR? Why push any legalization initiative if everything's so cheery and rosy in California? Oh, I know, because with CCHI and MCLR, different people get rich. That's really what this is about. This is opposition to the business plan. Oh, I don't like this because it'll make it difficult for me to get rich. Without a consideration of the people sitting in jail now, currently now, sitting in a cell for their misdemeanor or their felony marijuana arrest, who would have the opportunity for retroactive resentencing, early release, and expungement of their record. But no, we can't help you guys out because Sean Parker might make money. Or some big grower might make money. Or some farmer in the Emerald Triangle can't get $1,200 for a pound anymore. You have to stay in prison. Sorry. We'd love to let you out, but you're going to have to wait till 2020. Of course, you'll be out by 2020, so what's the difference? Myth number five that she lists in here in this Dragonfly De La Luz 8 Reasons piece. Prop 64 creates no new crimes. She says it creates new crimes for teens and young adults. This one is absolute and utter unmitigated bullshit. She says it creates new crimes that don't exist today, including possessing more than an ounce, 6 months in jail, or a $500 fine. That's a crime now. If you have more than an ounce, you are subject to 6 months and a $500 fine. She even tries to pull this, if you share a joint, you're going to get jail time, right? She says teens and young adults aged 18 to 20 could get a fine, 6 months, $500 fine for sharing a joint, even though it's not a crime today. Wrong. It's a crime today. Delivery is a crime today. Gift is a crime today that is worth a $100 infraction. And it's still worth a $100 infraction because, once again, Dragonfly, you read paragraph A and failed to go to paragraph B. Paragraph A that says, except as otherwise listed, or except as otherwise noted in law, you get a $500 fine, 6 months for passing a joint. And then paragraph B says, if it's under an ounce, you get a $100 ticket. I am just sick of the willful misinformation campaigns that we hear from the stoners against legalization in every state, every year, and by God, wouldn't you know it, almost every one of them has a financial attachment to the medical marijuana industry. What a surprise. Just as surprised as I was to find that Patriot Care in Massachusetts is against the legalization. The medical marijuana company, Patriot Care, they're against it. They know where their bread is buttered. They like it. When these folks talk about monopoly, folks, the monopoly they know is the monopoly of the medical marijuana law, the monopoly of the doctors writing the permission slip, or The monopoly of the weed dealer. That's what they're protecting. Back for hour one. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you